It is Wednesday, December 1st, 2010, and this is the best of A-Bomb Radio. I'm your host, Tony Phillips. Let's get this show started.
Get off your high horse, get off your throne now. All the people are taking it back. In the castles, all the vassals, oh, the kingdom is under attack. Under attack, under attack.
It's hard to believe it's been almost a month since my last podcast. I can't be blamed for that, though. At least I hope you don't blame me. Last month was actually a combination between hectic and calming. The first couple weeks, I was actually pretty calm. I was preparing everything for this best of edition. And I was getting everything pretty much put together. The last 2 weeks of this month, I was busy as all get out. My birthday was on the 18th, and I thank you all for your birthday wishes. I turned old. At least it feels that way. And then on the following week, it was Thanksgiving. It's very, very busy time of year for me. I hope you all enjoyed your Thanksgiving. I hope you all did a lot of shopping on Black Friday or avoided the stores, as the case may be. I hope you've all found something special for that person in your life that you want to give that Christmas present to. But enough about me and my mushiness and my sap. It's time to get on with this show.
Why are Camels by far America's most popular cigarette? Two of the reasons are flavor and mildness. No other cigarette has Camel's rich, full flavor. And no other cigarette offers this proof of mildness. In a coast-to-coast test of hundreds of people with normal throats, noted throat specialists reported not one single case of throat irritation due to smoking Camels. Try Camels yourself. Then you'll know why Camel leads all other brands by billions of cigarettes per year.
One of the first memories that I had of Paul Harvey, I was probably about 6 years old, which would put it about 25 years ago. I heard him on the radio. I was just listening to the music, bopping along. And around noon, I hear,
"Hello, Americans. This is Paul Harvey. Stand by for news.
And naturally, I was curious. This old man had piqued my interest. You're who, and I should do what? Stand by for news? Well, at first I thought, I don't want to hear the news. I want to hear music. That's why I had it on this radio station in the first place. Later on, as I kept listening to him, I realized this isn't really news, so to speak. At least it's not the kind of news that any other station or affiliate would talk about. No mainstream news source would ever talk about this kind of news. We heard everything on Paul Harvey's show, from Shop Talk to For What It's Worth, which is usually about something humorous, at least humorous to him, and most of the time it was humorous to his listening audience as well. And he always had this amazing way of sort of blending in the commercials. He would read the advertisements just like they were part of his news broadcast. And I can distinctly remember he would finish up a commercial and then you would hear,
"Now page two."
That's the way he felt would be best to be an advertiser, rather than breaking in on his show and playing a pre-recorded commercial. He would just read the advertisements as though they were part of his news program. That always made me feel some sort of, I liked it. I liked that style of delivery. And what really got me was hearing in late February of last year, 2009, that Paul Harvey had died, because there's nobody who can match Paul Harvey.
Page three.
Such is the way of the world, you can never know just where to put all your faith and how will it grow. Gonna rise up, bring back holes and dark memories. Gonna rise up, turn mistakes into
Being a handy kind of guy, I decided it was time to change the oil in my truck. I've got the oil, I've got the filter, I've got a new air filter. I'm ready to roll. So I put the truck up. I drain all the oil. Put the new air filter in. That takes all of about 20 minutes. The next hour and a half is spent trying to find an oil filter wrench that would fit. And once I'd found it, trying to get the oil filter off. This proves to be mission impossible. No matter how hard I try, I cannot get that oil filter off. And I hear Ryan's voice in my head saying, well, that's what you get. You ran the damn thing for a year without changing the oil. How many miles did you put on this thing? And I'm talking to myself, which I'm thankful nobody else was around because I would have been looked at oddly. I'm talking to him. Well, how many miles have you put on this thing since you bought it? 18,000. Well, damn. No wonder you're having such a hard time. I know. 3 hours after I started, I finally gave up. I said, you know what? The hell with this. I want to take it to the fucking professionals next time. They can take off the oil filter. Undoubtedly, they have a method for it. And then every time after that, I can change my own because I'll do it regularly at a period of less than 1 year between oil changes. My dad used to be a mechanic. Whenever he had an oil filter that was stuck, he had a method. He'd cut through the bottom of the filter, reach up with a wrench, unscrew the filter and the thread, and then he'd take the thread out of the filter once he got it off and put it back up. I didn't have the means to cut a filter. I didn't even have the means to drill holes through it so I could throw a stick in there and twist it. I gave up. But the truck runs a hell of a lot better now. That is problem solved. I'll be back after this. Don't go away.
Sit out on the porch soaking up the breeze, lounging around in my faded jeans, worn out boots and my old guitar, sitting there looking out at the stars. And I like my mama's homemade pie, and I like a Friday afternoon fish fry. Yeah, I'm country, it's plain to see, but let me tell you something else about me. I'm a country living with rock and roll women. Little tattoo on her back, it's my wheel spinning kind of girl that can dance all night long. Get up in the morning, raring to go. Man, if that ain't what I call heaven, country living with rock and roll women. Hard day's work for a good day's pay. Like to kick back and relax at the end of the day. Like to take a man's word for what it's worth. For what I get, I'd like to give in return. I'd like to drive my truck in four-wheel drive and go catfishing on a Saturday night. Yeah, I'm country, it's plain to see. But let me tell you something else about me. I like my country living. Rock and roll women, little tattoo on her back, it's my wheel spinning kind of girl that can dance all night long. Get up in the morning, raring to go. Man, if that ain't what I call heaven, country living with rock and roll women. Like my country living, rock and roll women. Little tattoo on her back, it's my wheel spinning kind of girl that can dance all night long. Get up in the morning, raring to go. And if that ain't what I call heaven, yeah, that's what I call heaven. Man, if that ain't what I call heaven, country living with rock and roll women. Rock and roll women.
I was born a poor black child.
No, I was born in the late 70s. I was born after disco, but before new wave. If that makes any sense to anybody, thank you. So, I'm a child of the 80s. I am absolutely addicted to almost anything from the 80s. Almost. There are some things that I see or I hear and I start to wonder why is it that I like that in the first place, especially the bubblegum pop from like the mid-80s on up into 1990. And I just think to myself, what was so appealing about this that I liked it? What was the fad that was going on at the time? And since we're speaking about fads, I might as well talk a little bit about catchphrases, because those fall right into the fad category, because somebody will say something and it'll catch on, thus the name catchphrases.
I've fallen, and I can't get up!
And people will use that all the time. Whether in or out of context.
How are you doing?
Some of these catchphrases, however, never seem to go out of style.
Here's Johnny!
And some of these just don't seem to cut it. But you know what? That's all I gotta say about that. What I lack in quality, I make up in quantity on this show. And now you've had your 2 minutes of, what the fuck was he just saying?
We'll be right back.
Last week I said there were things that I didn't want to talk about because I didn't want to jinx it. Well, I'm going to tell you about one of the things right now, because there's no chance I'm going to jinx this. I got a shot at trying out a new job Friday. I'll just make a long story short. I busted my ass for 4 hours trying to repo furniture. Got paid a $15 check. And then found out there was no communication whatsoever between anybody in the company. I've worked for companies like that before, and I'm not going to do it again. That was the short version. I'm not going to give you the long version, because it's just way too long. But I'll tell you this. Anytime you have a job offer, go ahead, go in, take the interview, you know, do the preliminaries, do the orientation, ask questions all the time. Ask questions. Almost everybody I know is in a job that they hate because they didn't ask enough questions. Very rarely is it that a company, HR manager, boss, whoever, is going to lie to you about basic questions. So ask the questions that matter most to you. If I had stopped to ask the questions, then I might have found out before I went through all this. And yeah, okay, I understand. $15 is better than nothing, especially when you're out there for 4 hours. But it's the fact that there is no communication. None whatsoever. The people in the store are only concerned about what's going on inside the store. The people outside the store are trying to figure out what the hell is going on and why the hell the people inside the store are bitching at them for things that are beyond their control. It's a communication thing. Every relationship is based on communication. I learned this lesson a while back, and it feels like somehow I'm getting punished for it over and over and over and over. Communication is the key to every relationship. With your friends, with your loved ones, girlfriends, boyfriends, lovers, your boss, the place you work for, your parents, anybody, communication is the key. I'm going to explain to you why it's been drilled into me for the past year and a half, and why I'm trying to drill it into you now. It seems that every relationship, whether it's personal or business, that I've attempted to become a part of has failed. And it feels like I'm the one who's always giving. I'm the one who starts the conversation. I'm the one who opens up the line of communication. I used to make excuses as to why I didn't communicate. Either I was busy, or I was thinking about things, or... And it was never anything I would discuss. But I was just thinking about things. Or I just didn't want to talk. So I didn't communicate. I never started the communication. And so what happens when you have this problem? And yes, I'm calling it a problem. It's a character flaw. But what happens is the relationships you have die off rather quickly. Whether it's friends or family or co-workers, your boss, whomever, the relationship just fizzles. And so I decided about a year and a half ago that in any relationship that I attempted to undertake or to become a part of, I would try to keep a conversation going. I would try to keep those lines of communication open. For some reason, it seems as though I'm the one now who is making that attempt. The other party isn't. I am. I'm trying to keep the lines of communication open, and it seems like I'm not getting anywhere. I'm not getting any response. And it hurts. And now I understand what I've been doing to everybody around me. Every time I try to start a conversation, it doesn't go very far. It never gets off the ground. Very rarely do I have those deep conversations, those meaningful communications. And it puts a strain on me. It really does. I've been depressed for the past 6 months. Longer, if you really think about it. If you really stretched it, I've probably been depressed for the past 10 years. But then again, we're not really looking at the long term here. But my depression, as far as I'm concerned, seems to stem from the fact that I don't communicate with the people around me. And I understand this now, which is why I've been trying to keep those lines of communication open with the people around me. And I'm getting the same response from them that I used to give them. I get short, very terse answers. I don't get a whole lot of deep thinking conversation. I've sort of lost the ability to communicate. Which is why I suppose I'm doing this. It's why I'm creating these podcasts. It's a form of communication with the outside world. But then again, I could be wrong. This could just be me talking to myself. In the past 2 months that I've been putting this on, actually 3 months now, in the past 3 months that I've been putting this show out, I've gotten maybe 2 or 3 good responses. And I'm not talking about agreements. I'm talking about something that actually makes me think. So it becomes very apparent to me that I'm paying for some sort of sins that I've committed And this is retribution for that. I put on a show. I ask every single week for something, anything, and I don't get it. I've gotten it twice. But I rarely get that information. I don't get the questions. I've had one suggestion for a topic. And yeah, I put the segment in there. And that was great. I loved it. I loved that interaction. It's not how much I speak, but what I speak about that matters. I think we can all take that and make something out of it for ourselves as individuals.
But now here's Jim Doyle, the man from the Fitch Company, who wants to say something about one of his favorite subjects.
That's right, Dick. Fitch's No-Brush Shaving Cream is a favorite subject with me because men are always so pleased with it after they've tried it. Fitch's No-Brush combines three different shaving ingredients into one easy-to-use cream. One of the ingredients, a special skin conditioner, helps prepare even a tender, sensitive face for a solid comfort shave. Fitch's No-Brush also has a creamy, non-greasy texture. It helps the razor do the job in a hurry, even if your beard is tough. When you've finished your shave, your face feels cool and refreshed and smooth as can be.
For men who prefer lather, there's Fitch's Brush Cream. It gives lots of rich, dense lather that stays moist all during the shave. Rinses off easily, too, leaving your face feeling smooth and pleasantly cool.
Join the thousands who have found shaving pleasure through their switch to Fitch. Both Fitch's Brush and Fitch's No-Brush Shaving Creams contain the special skin conditioner for sensitive faces, and both come in handy 25 and 50-cent sizes.
So, I got a tattoo this weekend. Went down to my friend's house down on the south side of town, and he does a real good job. He's got a real nice, he's got a light touch. You can hardly tell it's happening unless you're really sensitive. Myself, I could tell it was happening, and it was the oddest thing, because he's working on my right arm, and he's got the needle going, and I can feel it in my left arm. He's got his needles going, and he's drawing in the outline. That was fine. He starts coloring it in, and I'm like, wait a minute. This is kind of strange, Sam. He says, what's that? I said, well, you're stabbing me in the right arm in my bicep, but my left hand is tingling. And we just kind of laughed it off, and he said, well, it happens. But anyway, I did get the tattoo. It's a memorial, really. It's my late brother's nickname. He would have been 36 on Saturday. And that's just sort of my way of memorializing him. I feel that you should never put somebody else's name on your body unless you know that they're going to be with you for the rest of your life. And I do feel that my brother is going to be with me for the rest of my life. I'll always have my memories of him. I'll still hear his voice in my head whenever I do something that is incredibly and undeniably stupid. But that's just me. I know that for all his admonitions, he really did have my best interest at heart. He would always say, well, I know that's what you want to do, and if that's what you want to do, I'm not going to stop you. But if I were in your position, I wouldn't do that. He wasn't always wrong. He wasn't always mean. Matter of fact, he was hardly ever mean. But he did come across as kind of a hard ass, you know? The kind of a person who not necessarily knew more about the world, but had more life experience and had been down that path and could tell you exactly what was going to happen. He had definitely had more life experience. He was kicked out of the house at 17. And he kind of bounced around from place to place. And finally found a place where he was happy. But he couldn't make it last. He tried. He tried. But events happen. And those things just didn't happen the way he would have liked them to have happened. He did the best he could do with who he was and where he was going with his life. I think in the end, he knew that he had done the best that he could do. And so that's why I have his nickname tattooed on my arm. It's to remind me to do the best that you can do. And when the times get tough, you just put your head down and you go through it. And that's why his nickname was Rhino. I'll be back after this.
Yo-ho, yo-ho, brush, let's all have our voice, whichever you've the notion.
50 cents for shaving cream, a dollar for the lotion.
Old Spice means quality, said the captain to the bosun. So look for the package with the ship that sails the ocean. Yo-ho, yo-ho.
Have you ever gone through the store and seen an item, or you've been watching a TV commercial and seen an item, and you think to yourself, what the hell is that? Who the hell invented it? And what the hell necessitated the need for such an item? The late, great Mitch Hedberg had a thought or two about said items.
There's a commercial on late night TV for this thing you attach to a garden hose that says you can water your hard to reach plants with this product. Who the fuck would make their plants hard to reach? That seems so very mean. I know you need water, but I'm gonna make you hard to reach. I will throw water at you. Hopefully they'll invent a product before you shrivel and die. Think like a cactus. So you can have this product for 4 easy payments of $19.95. I'd like to have a product that was available for 3 easy payments and 1 fucking complicated payment. We can tell you which payment it is, but one of these payments is going to be a bitch. The mailman will get shot to death, the envelope will not seal, and the stamp will be in the wrong denomination. Good luck, fucker.
But seriously, you have to go to Walmart or Walgreens or CVS and just stroll through the aisles and look at some of the stuff that's on sale. And you wonder to yourself, what the hell is going on? What really is confusing is that you see a commercial for a certain product and it says not sold in stores. You can go to Walgreens or you can go to CVS or you can go to Walmart and you see the exact same item and the words on the box say, as seen on TV. Now you gotta wonder, who's doing the marketing for these people? They can't be all that smart. Though if you consider it, they're probably smarter than we give them credit for, because they're telling the manufacturers of these products, you will be able to sell this exclusively through your own in-house sales reps. And they turn around and tell the chain stores, hey, we've got this lovely new product that we'd like you to put on your shelves. He's getting money both ways. And it's times like this that I wish that I had some salesmanship in my blood. because I could turn things around so quick. It's not even funny.
Oh, we ride in a rodeo, rope and steers and butts and broncos, and we haven't had a bite to eat since dawn. We are hungry and we're dragging, but here comes the old chuck wagon with the fiddles that we long for. Bring her on!
Now, I'm the U.S. Marshal. The soft drinks, I am partial.
And this popcorn's good.
Aye, guys, I say it be. You like them, lick them ice cream, and this ice cream's very nice cream.
You buy them,
and you try them,
and you treat.
Now it's time for intermission, so let's all hit the trail and gather round the sweet bar where these goodies are on sale.
You know what I miss? I miss Saturday morning cartoons. It's not that I miss the cartoons in particular, but I miss the idea. I miss being a little kid and getting up at 5:30 in the morning and getting that huge bowl of cereal and sitting 2 feet away from the TV screen and waiting for 6 a.m. to roll around on Saturday morning, because then I knew there would be 6 full hours of cartoons. And it always started off with Bugs Bunny. From 6 till 7, it was always Bugs Bunny. Something I've noticed as I've grown older, though, is that the cartoons seem to be geared more and more towards a younger audience. I know that sounds hard to believe, because they are cartoons. They are for entertainment of young people. But it seems that the older and older I got, the younger the audience for cartoons became. When I was 7 years old, it was Bugs Bunny. When I was 12 years old, 13, it was Captain Planet. The cartoons then started getting geared for a younger crowd about the time I hit 15. It was either that, or I was feeling that I was more mature and therefore didn't need cartoons. But it seems like nowadays cartoons are geared towards 3 and 4 and 5 year olds rather than 6, 7, 8 year old boys and girls. I call it the contribution to the dumbing down of America. The reason I say this is because even older children and young adults are watching shows like SpongeBob SquarePants. And these older people are watching it because it's mindless entertainment. And I don't have anything against mindless entertainment, but at least let it be something age-appropriate. Let it be something that doesn't really cause you to think too much, but at the same time won't make people stare at you when you tell them. It's not a difficult decision to make. If you're in your mid-teens to late 20s, and you want to watch something that's completely mindless entertainment, and you want to watch a cartoon form, watch Cartoon Network at night. You know, watch South Park. Watch Robot Chicken. Watch Ugly Americans. Hell, you can even watch The Office. Steve Carell is basically a caricature of every bad boss there ever was. Just don't go around singing the theme to SpongeBob SquarePants. Even if you have kids. That's all I have to say about this. I'm getting too upset over it, and I'm going to explode. I need to calm down. Listen to this.
Hey, 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 it's that Albert, and I'm going to sing a song for you. Bill's going to show you a thing or two.
Halloween is over. Thank goodness. Problem is, we started working on Christmas before we even got to Halloween. This is no kidding. I went to the store the week before Halloween. They already had Christmas ornaments, Christmas trees, stockings, all sorts of Christmas decorations on display for sale before we even got to Halloween. I think this is kind of ridiculous. We're celebrating a holiday 2 months in advance. We're getting prepared for it. We're not really getting prepared for it, though. We're getting inundated by the commercialization of it before it's even time to start thinking about it. I saw it, and I thought to myself, we still have Halloween and Thanksgiving before we even get to Christmas. I think it's, frankly, quite ridiculous that we should be involved with such a thing, much less advertise it before its time has even come. Let us celebrate our holidays one at a time. It's ridiculous. I don't feel that we should press on and press forward and press through everything else because this day is going to be the big one. Honestly, right before Labor Day, do you see a lot of, well, yeah, you do see a lot of American flags. But do you see a lot of fireworks being sold? Do you see a lot of overly patriotic displays? No. It's Labor Day. It's time for a parade and a telethon. But no 2 months early sales of fireworks. So what gives? What makes Christmas such a big deal that we have to start prepping for it 2 months in advance? I want to know this for my own personal satisfaction. I mean, I'd just like to know how it happens that the only two times in the year where we anticipate something 2 months ahead of time, at least according to the commercialization of such things, are Christmas and the beginning of the school year. Have you ever noticed that? We start getting ready for Christmas. We start getting the commercializations of Christmas back in October, before we've even hit Halloween. And no sooner are the kids out of school, then there are already commercials on television advertising everything for back to school. It's ridiculous, and I know I've said this, I'm a broken record about this. It's ridiculous, it's ridiculous, it's ridiculous. We've got to find a better way of handling our holidays and handling everything in its own time. The only reason we should ever start anything early is if it's absolutely a necessity. I know a lot of people start their Christmas shopping early. But just because people start shopping early doesn't mean that you should start selling all the accoutrements of Christmas early. It doesn't make sense. Let's get through the other holidays that we have. And then we can go to Christmas. It's ridiculous. I'll say it again. It's ridiculous.
Never borrow money needlessly just when you must. Borrow them where loans are a specialty from folks you trust. Borrow confidently from HSC.
Household Finance Corporation offices are listed in your telephone book.
Good night, everybody.
Well, that's it, folks. That's my choices for the best of A-Bomb Radio. I hope you've enjoyed listening to them again. If there's anything that you want to hear, let me know. You can follow me on Twitter. You can find me on Facebook. You can send me an email. And you can give me a call or send me a text. I hope to hear from you all. I will talk to you all later. Next time on A-Bomb Radio.
Do you like pants?
A-Bomb Radio is copyright 2010 by Tony Phillips, that's me, and is distributed under a Creative Commons Non-Commercial Attribution Share-Alike 3.0 license.